about Isaiah 56, the last three verses. And we've been talking about the 21st century watchman, how to expose an apostate teacher or preacher. And last week we left off. Is this loud? I'm getting a lot of feedback up here. And we left off in an apostate teacher will not be living a clean life. We talked about holiness, and we left off with sanctification. That's part of holiness. Now we're going to move on to the next part of verse 12 in Isaiah 56, where it says, let me read the whole passage. "Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." Now we're going to focus on the phrase, "tomorrow shall be as this day." This is a common thing nowadays. Apostates are not looking for the Lord's return. I talk to people in other churches, family members, and things of that nature, and I like to talk about the Lord coming back. I like to talk about the rapture. Okay, that excites me. It's giving me goosebumps right now just thinking about it. And they're good goosebumps because they started in the front on my arms. Amen. They didn't come from the back up my neck. But that's one thing that happened to me down at, for the first time ever, that happened down at the Blowout in Pensacola. We were singing "And Can It Be?" And it felt like the roof was going to raise off of that church. And no offense against women, but when you get a church full of men singing at the top of their lungs, there's just something about it, especially a song like "And Can It Be?" And I had about a 12-year-old boy in front of me, and he turned around and he said, "Did that give you goosebumps or what?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "You know it was from the Holy Spirit because it started in your hands and went up your arms and came up to your face, right?" And I said, "Yeah, that's a good point, you know." But it was great. But anyway, these apostates, they're not looking for the Lord's return. And, oh, you know what? Before we started, I wanted to show you guys something real quick. We were talking about food one time, about these strange ingredients. If you've never read the definition of natural flavor or natural flavorings, you're going to hear it now. And this is something to look for on if you're into natural foods, organic foods, and things of that nature. This is something you want to look at. And you may want to call the company and ask them exactly what their natural flavors are. And if they don't want to tell you, you might not want to eat their food that they're selling you. But here's the definition from Title 21 of the Code of Federal Regulations. Okay, the term natural flavor or natural flavoring means the essential oil, olorosin, essence or extractive, protein hydrolysate, distillate, or any product of roasting, heating, or enzymolysis, which contains the flavoring constituents derived from a spice, fruit, or juice, or fruit juice, vegetable or vegetable juice, edible yeast, herb, bark, bud, root, leaf, or similar plant material, meat, seafood, poultry, eggs, dairy products, or fermentation products thereof, whose significant function is in food is flavoring rather than nutritional. So that when you see that natural flavors on something, that's what it could be, okay? Which basically means it could be anything. It could be anything as long as it's not used for nutritional purposes, but it's used for flavoring, okay? And the one that worries me is the one that says meat. Meat, we have meat. Our muscles are meat, okay? And that goes in with what we were talking about with the Sinomics. I thought that was pretty neat name that they gave themselves, Sinomics. Who's ready for lunch? So anyway, apostates, they're not looking for the Lord's return. I talked to some people. One guy I talked to had been saved for over 40 years, and I talked to him about the Lord coming back, and he got mad and got defensive and upset because I wanted the Lord to return that year, and I was hoping that he would return that year. And, you know, you run into this a lot when you talk about the rapture, and people have been so programmed to get defensive about somebody saying the Lord's coming back this year, that we just completely discredit either that person or we discredit the Lord coming back this year. You know? And that's silly, because he could come back right now. And that's what we're supposed to be looking for. That's the whole context of 2 Thessalonians, where there's a falling away first and that man of sin be revealed. The whole context is that we're to be looking for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Okay? So an apostate is not going to look for the Lord's return. Okay? Tomorrow shall be as this day. I find it very sad when I hear a brother in Christ that has no hope for the Lord's return in their lifetime. They look at it as some distant thing that they're never going to see. You know, and if we've gotten to that point, then we've lost hope. We need to get out of that rut that we're in, and we need to get back in the book, and we need to start researching things that are of the Bible and stop all this other nonsense that distracts us from that. Because the Lord could come back. He could come back right now. Amen? And I want him to. Okay? Every believer in this day and age should feel as though the Lord's coming back. Period. Okay? There's only one reason a Christian isn't looking for the Lord's return, and that is because an apostate talked them out of it. That's usually what happens. Like I said, people are hypersensitive to talking about the rapture being this year. I remember I was so excited about 5 years ago, what did we have? We had like 4 blood moons, and they all fell on the Jewish feast days, and man, that was the year, right? You know, I was so excited about that, and we had, you know, and then I learned about the hay harvest being in June and stuff like that, you know, and it was just crazy, and I was so excited that year, but he didn't come. Did I get discouraged? No, absolutely not. I just told everybody he's coming back the next year, you know, and I even got to a point where at work, I was calling all of my friends at work, you know, the Lord would put it on my heart to call them and tell them that, you know, the rapture's going to happen, and that you need to get saved, you know. And they probably laugh at me, but hey, God got glory out of that, I guarantee it, you know. God got glory out of it, okay? But when you're dealing with an apostate 21st century watchman, you're dealing, he's going to glaze over 3 areas concerning the Lord's return, okay? One of those is going to be the world system is satanic. He's not going to talk about that, okay? Number 2 is the apostasy of the church. He's not going to talk about that. And number 3 is the Lord's return is imminent. Nothing has to happen. Nothing has to take place for the rapture to happen, okay? It's time. The time is now, okay? So let's talk about number 1. The world system is satanic. Okay. Seldom will you hear a man preach against the world system. If you, most preachers nowadays sound as if they're on the government payroll. Okay. And if you knew something about law, a lot of them are. Okay. Because when a church becomes a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, on paper they cease to be a church. They have entered into a contract with the IRS. And there are rules to maintain your nonprofit status. And one of those rules is you can't preach against pornography. Another one of those rules is you cannot take any political stance whatsoever. Another one of those rules is you cannot preach against the public school systems. Another one of those rules is you cannot support the parent having jurisdiction over their child's life. The state has jurisdiction. Those are not-for-profit organizations. That's why your big not-for-profits are politically neutral and they don't say anything about anything. They just take your money. Okay? And if the truth be known, most churches are 501c3s. We're a 501c3. But the way we look at it is we're going to preach the word until they tell us not to, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. That's the way we look at it, okay? Because if you know anything about Indianapolis Baptist Temple, They were a 501c3, and they tried to dissolve their 501c3 and become an independent church, and the IRS and the ATF raided them and locked their doors. And if they would have resisted, they would have killed them over it. It happens every day in this country. Church is getting shut down. Okay? So the world system is satanic, and it seems though as though a lot of preachers are on the government payroll. A few years back, an article came out about preachers actually being on the government payroll. And it was called, they were called clergy response teams. This happened about 6 or 7 years ago when the story broke. And you never know what some of the stories you hear, you never know. But there was a local news report, let me see what TV station it was. It was KSLA Channel 12 News, okay? And let me just read it to you real quick. A shocking KSLA news report has confirmed the story that broke last year that clergy response teams are being trained by the federal government to quell dissent and pacify citizens to obey the government in the event of a declaration of martial law. In May of 06, it was exposed the existence of a nationwide FEMA program which is training pastors and other religious representatives to become secret police enforcers who teach their congregations to obey the government. Okay? A whistleblower who secretly enrolled into the program said that feds were clandestinely recruiting religious leaders to help implement Homeland Security directives in anticipation of a potential bioterrorist attack, any natural disaster, or a nationally declared emergency. The first directive was for pastors to preach to their congregations Romans 13, the often taken out of context Bible passage that was used by Hitler to hoodwink Christians into supporting him in order to teach them to obey the government when martial law is declared. It was related to the pastors that quarantines, martial law, and forced relocation were a problem for state authorities when enforcing federal mandates due to the cowboy mentality of citizens standing up for their property and Second Amendment rights, as well as farmers defending their crops and livestock from seizure. Have you noticed that that's going on right now, that livestock is getting just killed and milk is getting poured out and crops are getting destroyed by the FDA or by the USDA? They're getting raided ATF style, SWAT team style. You know, Amish folks have SWAT teams coming in their windows and stealing their records and taking all of their members' records of these grocery co-ops that are going on out there. It was stressed that pastors needed to preach subservience to the authorities ahead of time in preparation for the roundups and to make it clear to the congregation that this is for their own good. Pastors were told that they would be backed up by law enforcement and controlling uncooperative individuals, and that they would even lead SWAT teams in attempting to quell resistance. Though some doubted the accuracy of this report at the time due to its fundamentally disturbing implications, the story has now been confirmed by KSLA 12 News, in which participating clergy and officials admit to the existence of the program. And there's a link on YouTube where you can watch that news report. Okay? The report entertains the scenario of martial law as depicted in the movie The Siege and states quelling dissent would be critical. Dr. Darrell Tuberville serves as chaplain for the Shreveport Fire Department and the Caddo Sheriff's Office. Tuberville said of the clergy team's mission, "The primary thing that we say to anybody is, let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over." So that's what's going on out there. And the last I heard that they trained over 30,000 people for this. FEMA did. Okay, 30,000 people. Okay, so anyway, the world system is satanic. This is what you won't hear an apostate preach on. They won't preach against the world because most of their churches are a mirror image of the world. They've got all the worldly entertainment. They've got all the worldly dress. They've got all the worldly language. Okay, so they're not going to preach against that. If you would look at Matthew 4, the world system is satanic. verse 8 and 9. The context is the devil tempting Jesus Christ here after he fasted. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil left. Okay, Jesus didn't say, these aren't your kingdoms. Okay? The devil said, if you worship me, I'll give these to you. Okay? The devil is claiming jurisdiction over the world kingdoms here. Alright? The devil is claiming jurisdiction over the world system. Look in Jeremiah 27. The devil has jurisdiction over the world kingdoms. Jeremiah 27, start in verse 5. All nations serve the king of Babylon until the restoration of the nation of Israel. This is where God gave jurisdiction of the world kingdoms from the nation of Israel over to Satan. Okay, start in verse 5. I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now have I given all lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. This is when God gives all the kingdoms over to the all the kingdoms of the world over to Satan. Even America, this country too. That's hard to hear for a lot of people, but all you have to do is pay attention to what's going on, and you can tell we're not serving Jesus Christ. Okay? First and foremost, if this was a Christian nation, our founding document would not say all power is inherent in the people. It would say all power is inherent in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, that's what it would say if we were a Christian nation. Do we have Christians in this nation? Absolutely, okay? We talked about that already. So that's where it was given over to Satan, okay? Was in Jeremiah 27, okay? 2 Corinthians confirms this for the New Testament Christian, okay? That the world is still under Satan's control. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Start in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, it's a God with a small g there. That's a direct reference to Lucifer. It has jurisdiction over the world, even now. Okay? And there's the image of God. Remember we talked about Jesus Christ being the image of God? That's what it says right there. Okay, so Lucifer has jurisdiction over the world until the restoration of the nation of Israel. Period. Okay? Now, what is our relationship supposed to be towards government? That's a big question nowadays. I toil with that every day because my flesh wants to do one thing, but my spirit wants to do another thing. Amen? And you got to listen to that battle. You got to listen to that fight. You can't ignore that battle that's going on because one's right and one's wrong. Okay? Your flesh is always going to be wrong, no matter what. Okay? But let's see what our relationship to the government, what our relationship is supposed to be to government. Look at Romans 13, okay? Romans 13. There's a lot of ways people look at this, but there's only one way a Bible believer looks at it, okay? There's only one way. You believe what it says, okay? That's the only way to look at it as a Bible believer, okay? Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resisteth shall receive it to themselves damnation. Okay? Now on the surface, that just looks like we're supposed to obey government, doesn't it? Okay? And if you read it like that and you believe it, you are. You're supposed to obey rulers that are put in charge of you. Okay? Now I want to show you something here. The word higher powers is changed in all the new versions to government or officials or something of that nature. So that should send a red flag off in your head that the higher powers here may not necessarily be talking about our government. Okay? In the old days, you had, and even today, just not in America, you have monarchies, you have oligarchies, you have dictatorships, okay? And nowhere in the Bible can I find that it says you're supposed to break out of those things. You're so supposed to submit, okay? You're supposed to do your duty. And if you read further on down into Romans 13, you're going to see that. But I want you to see the context here. Chapter 13 is a continuation of chapter 12. And if you just scan through chapter 12, okay, you're not going to see rebellion in there anywhere. Okay? You're not going to see freedom fighters in there anywhere. Okay? It's all about having grace. Be of the same mind, in verse 16 of chapter 12, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if my enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, so what you've got here is the article is right. People take this out of context. Okay? And one of the things they do is you can look at this passage and you can say, okay, we're supposed to fight for our rights because higher powers doesn't mean government. Okay, you can say that. But I don't think it says that. I think that the higher powers does mean government. I think it also means spiritual powers too, meaning your church. Your church has a form of government as well. Okay, what happens nowadays, okay? People come to church, they get offended, and then they don't follow the biblical rule of thumb on how to fix that offense, and then they get mad and leave, okay? Or they're the offender, and instead of staying in here and facing the hierarchy of the church the way you're supposed to, repenting and getting right with the congregation or whoever it was you offended, they leave the church, okay? But yet, those are the biggest people that are going to scream subservience to the government. That you're supposed to obey, obey, obey. Okay? So there's some hypocrisy there. Okay? Now, in America, we don't have rulers over us. Even though that's what it appears to be, on paper, that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not how this country was set up. This country was set up as a modified democratic republic, meaning that the people, there had to be a majority of people that accepted a law before it got enacted, okay? And that's a big thing in this country nowadays, is laws, okay? First of all, most people have no idea what the laws of this country are. nor have they ever studied them, but they'll yell from the rooftops that you have to obey them. Okay? I'll give you a quick example about not knowing what the laws are, okay? Who obeys the traffic laws? Does anybody obey the traffic laws here? Okay, no, you don't. You obey the traffic regulations. Okay? They're not laws. They were never enacted. They were never voted on. It never went through the people. Okay? Because no people would limit their, would restrict their right to travel freely. Okay? I was traveling yesterday all the way up to Arlington Heights. And if you don't have a stinking card in your car, you have to wait in line to pay in cash. And it takes you 45 minutes longer to get where you're going than anybody else who took that pass. And it's funny because my three-year-old son, and I joke about this kind of stuff, but it's serious too. My three-year-old son says, "What's that, Mommy?" And she said, "It's a gate." And he said, "What's that for?" And she said, they're taking your money. And I said, "Yeah, and next week it'll be a mark." You know what I mean? That's what they're getting ready for. It's control. That's what it is. Them roads have been paid for 100 times over. You know? They don't ever maintain them. It's like once every 7 years they put concrete down. And they got roads in Germany that last 25 years without getting a pothole. And they got just as harsh winters as we do. You know? And they're abolishing traffic regulations in towns in Germany. And you know what? The people and the cops love it. Because everybody shares the road. Traffic slows down. People don't cut anybody off. Everybody's like, "Go on, go ahead." You know what I mean? People learn to be respectful. If you did away with the traffic regulations right now, right this minute, yeah, you would have some problems. But it would level out. It would peak out. It would level out, and people would learn. I mean, how do we do it before we had traffic regulations? Traffic regulations didn't come around till the 50s. How did we survive till then? You know, because we knew to be polite with other people and we had to share the road. Now you got people like, "I got the right of way." They don't even look, man. They just smack right into somebody. You know? So that's the way it goes. You know, those aren't laws. Those are regulations. So we need to know the laws. As a Christian, we need to know the laws of the land. Okay? So, are we to obey the higher powers? Yes. We're to be in subjection to the higher powers. Are we to render evil for evil? No. Okay? So the way I look at it is, you got all these patriots out there that are forming these militias and stuff like that. Are militias wrong? No. As long as they're in a defensive posture. Is the military wrong? No. As long as it's in a defensive posture. Okay? The minute you get offensive, you're wrong. You're wrong. We as Christians, as biblical Christians, are to defend ourselves and our property. That's what we have a right to do. I don't even know that I'd be dogmatic on the property issue. But I know our life, yes, we can defend our lives. But you have to take into account what's going on. You got to see what's going on. Why are you being persecuted? Are you being persecuted because you won't give up a tax? Are you being persecuted because you won't give up a piece of dirt? You see what I'm saying? Are you being persecuted because you won't shut your mouth? You see what I'm saying? Because if we had a right to just kill instead of being killed, then why are all the missionaries being killed? Why don't they just stand up and fight? You see what I'm saying? So there's a gray area there, and I don't know which way you go on that. I think you need to pray about it. I used to carry a .45 on my side until I decided one day they're just going to push me until I kill somebody. And they will. They will push you until there's a gunfight. And I'm talking about the government. They will push you until there's a gunfight. Even if nobody cares that you have your gun, the government will. They will care. They will come over and give you a hard time just because you're exercising that right. Now, what does that do for Jesus Christ? Me getting into a gunfight with a cop who's probably a Christian, who probably goes to church on Sunday. Do I have a right to do it? Yes. Is it expedient? Absolutely not. What if he's not saved? You put a bullet in his heart. He goes straight to hell. These are the things you got to think about, okay, when you're dealing with our relationship to government, okay? Now, if you turn back to Jeremiah 27 real quick, I want to show you something, okay? And the patriots hate to hear this. The quote-unquote patriots hate to hear this. Jeremiah 27. dealing with God is like playing chess against, what's that dude's name, Fisher? Is that his last name, Fisher? It was said that he was 24 moves deep in a chess match. He knew what you were going to do 24 moves down the line. That's how smart he was. Bobby Fischer was his name, okay? Well, that's not even close to how smart God is on knowing what's going to happen, okay? So God can set up a scenario, or I take that back. I don't necessarily think that God sets up scenarios. I think that God has a scenario for every action that we do down here, okay? He has a plan. He has an infinite number of plans to deal with our stinking free will that we have down here, which we usually make the wrong decisions, okay? He can deal with that, okay? But look in here in Jeremiah 27, okay? We'll continue from verse 7. I'll read verse 7 and we'll continue on. And I want to see if you follow me here about all these people who want to fight the New World Order, who want to fight our rights being taken away, who want to fight tyranny and all of this stuff, okay? Because if you remember, I don't see anybody in the Bible running for office. I don't see any political action groups getting put together here, people going door to door saying vote for Ron Paul. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere, Old Testament or New Testament. You know what I see? I see good old-fashioned preaching against the world system. No matter who's in office, they got preached against. That's what I see, okay? That's what I see. So look in verse 7, and all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nations and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, God says. I will punish that nation, saith the Lord, with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. Okay, and you got preachers out there right now saying, we got to get together, we need to bond together, and we need to stand up against this tyranny. I'm telling you right now, if there's a new world order coming, God is bringing it. Okay? He's bringing it. He will get glory no matter what we do. No matter what we do. You may not glorify him, but he gets glory out of you not glorifying him. He does. He gets glory out of that. Trust me. It's hard to explain that he does, but he does. No matter what you do, God's going to get glory out of that. He's not going to share it with any man, he says. Okay, so this new world order thing, this tyranny that's coming down, it's coming down from God. He's bringing that through. He has to fulfill his own prophecy. Okay, he has to do it. Okay, and the way I see it is that Satan is his tool to get it done. Satan is his tool to get it done. In layman's terms, which means my mindset, is that you got a boardroom up in heaven, the third heaven, okay? And Satan and the angels, the ones that are with Satan, they go up there every day for an inspection, just like the military, okay? And they put out the plan of the day, the POD, okay? The plan of the day. And God says, okay, Satan, you're going to go on over here to all the Bible revision boards. That's where you're going to be at today. Again, Satan's like, yeah, I know. That's your duty station for now, Satan. All right, shut up, you know. And then he's got all the fallen angels that are going to say, okay, now you're going to go work over here with Pat Robertson, and you're going to go over here with the Billy Graham Crusade, and you're going to go over here. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I think it goes down, seriously. That's what happened in Job. God picked a fight with Satan and Job. God said, have you considered thy servant Job? Satan was looking for something to do. He was tired of his position that God had him in, which was walking to and fro, looking for people to devour. So God said, hey, here's a suggestion. Why don't you, if you're so bored, why don't you go after Job? I mean, really, that's the reality of it, is that this fight between God and Satan that you hear about all the time, it doesn't happen. I don't see it happening. Satan is rebellion, and he is in rebellion, and he doesn't fear God. He was created without fear. I can't see a passage in the book that says that God repented creating Lucifer, but he repented creating you and me. Okay, so Lucifer's got to be working with him. Okay, he's got he has a plan for Lucifer. Okay, and that comes to pass after the tribulation. Amen. Okay, so, okay, that's the way I see it. That's what I get out of this stuff, okay? So our relationship to government, okay, is a touchy one. It's a touchy one. You need to look to the scriptures, and you need to pray about it and ask for guidance on that, okay? But I'm telling you right now, most of the things that we stand up for are not biblical things to stand up for. You know, it's things. Usually, when we get into a mess with the government, it's because we don't want to lose something. That's usually what it is. We don't want to lose something. You know, we were talking about this, how everything is so much bigger nowadays. You know, people's yards are gigantic. Houses are huge. You know, you got two people living in 2,800 square feet. You know what I mean? When in the old days, you know, because the evolutionists will say that people were smaller in the old days, so they had the little doorway. You know how a farmhouse got little hallways, little doorways, and stuff like that because, oh, well, people were smaller in those days. No, they didn't need the space. They lived within their means. They built what they needed. Nowadays, you got to have a living room as big as this, you know, with a TV as big as that. You know what I mean? That's the way it's got to be nowadays. You know, and when we don't need it. I mean, my kids are just fine watching that little thing in the minivan that big. You know what I mean? They're just fine. They don't need the 50-inch, right? So, but you know, that's how it goes. You know, so the higher powers in our country are the laws. Okay? And that's what we're to obey, is the laws. We enact laws. We don't enact men. Okay? When a man is elected, he's elected to a position of servitude. In America, that's what our relationship should be with the government, one of master servant. And the minute you abuse your servant, you're a wicked master, according to the scripture. But on the flip side to that, when you don't hold your servant accountable, you're a wicked master. Okay? So it's our responsibility to live righteously and to make our government live righteously. And we have laws in place to make that happen. Okay? We have laws in place to make that happen, and we should know those laws. Just complaining all the time is not going to change anything. Okay? Most of the time when you have a nation that is tyranny, there's tyranny widespread, if you look and see what's going on, is because they've gotten away from this book. That's the punishment. Okay? Tyranny is a result of the rejection of the Word of God, okay? And the last step before the judgment of God comes upon a nation, the last step, okay, is sodomy. That's the last step, is sodomy. When you've got sodomy running rampant in a nation, you're one step away from judgment. One step. Okay, so we're commanded to pray for our government, and I think we need to. I think we need to do that. All right? So let's stop there, and we'll pick up next week. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, Lord. Just pray that we receive it with an open mind and a willing heart. And pray now, Lord, that you prepare us to receive your words today in the main service, and that you would watch over us today, and that if the opportunity arises, Lord, we could be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.